Hi. Real quick, before we start the show, if you haven't listened to episode 60, Decision Trees, part 1, I highly recommend listening to it before listening to this.
Mr. Brody?
Oh, this is Isaiah. You ready to...
Hi.
You ready for podcasting?
Yeah. Just let me set up my computer.
So, last week we did an episode on decision trees and how to make better decisions. But we didn't actually, we explained how I used, my oddball list to make the decision. I won with my oddball list because I made good decisions and I thought about every decision, and being conscious of me making my decisions made me a better player. And so this week, I thought, why not actually play? I'm Isaiah Brody, and this is the Worst Coast Children. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Worst Coast Children X-Wing Podcast. With me today is my co-host, as per the usual. What's your name?
Elijah Noon. You may have heard of me.
I have heard of you, Elijah. And as our listeners can probably hear right now, today we are going to be playing Tabletop Simulator. Okay, so before we start playing, let's read out our lists out loud. Mm-hmm. I have, and these lists will be linked into the description. I have Jedi General at 41 points in the ETA-2 Actus Interceptor. It's just the base level, 41 points, no upgrades. I've got four of those, so 41 points, 41 points, 41 points. And, that amounts to 164 points. And then to fill the last 36, I have Oddball in the Nimbus-class V-Wing with Predator and Alpha 3B Besh. Predator is, while you perform a primary attack, if the defender's in your bullseye, you may reroll one attack die. And Alpha 3B Besh adds a bomb slot, and while you perform a primary attack, you may spend your lock on the defender to change one of your blank results or focus results to a hit result. This works pretty well in combination with Oddball's ability, who is an I-5. Two dice is the Nimbus class V-Wing attack value, but it's after you execute a red maneuver or perform a red action. If there's an enemy ship in your bullseye, you may acquire lock on that ship. So basically, I do a red maneuver or perform a red action, I get a free lock, and then I can use that lock for Alpha 3B Besh to spend it to change one of my blank or focus results to a hit, and I get a free reroll from Predator. So I think that's a pretty good just kind of ace archetype, and hopefully I'll be able to use that to my advantage.
So I'm running Mace, Flo, and Rick. Mick's pretty basic. He has Predator for bullseye rerolls, and he has an R2 Astromech for regen. All right, and I have Mace Windu, who has Sense, Delta 7B, and R2 Astromech, and Flo is also Delta 7B Jedi with R2 Astromech. So triple regen with Sense and two Delta Bs. Right.
For reference, Mace Windu is, after you fully execute a med maneuver, recover one force.
And Rick is, while you defend or perform a primary attack, if the speed of your revealed maneuver is higher than the enemy ship's, roll one additional die.
And you've got R2 Astromech on everyone, right?
Yes. All regen.
Right. R2 Astromech is a two-charge, variable point-costed upgrade based on agility. And it's, after you reveal your dial, you may spend one charge and gain one disarm token to recover one shield. This is a super valuable card that a lot of ace players use.
Predator, the talent on Rick is, while you perform a primary attack, if the defender is in the bullseye arc, you may reroll one attack die. Senses during the system phase, you may choose one ship at range 0 to 1 and look at its style. If you spend one force, you may choose a ship at range 0 to 3 instead. So, pretty good.
Yeah. All right. So,
let's get ready. We didn't even place ships yet, and We already made a 5-6.
I am now making the decision to place, flipping all the dials, regenning all the force. This is red. So far pretty interesting. Decision to not move. It's one turn. Yellow is going to focus as his action. It's two decisions.
And then
yellow will make a decision not to move. Alright. Making a decision to move red first.
Five.
Like so. Let's discuss that all in a moment when we just shut down Tabletop Simulator, stop the recording, and we will see everybody in a minute. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Worst Coast Children X-Wing Podcast. It's time to count out our decisions. What was your final tally?
96. 95 and one bad manners decision.
Right, that was with the gas cod.
Yes.
Just adding the evade just for the memes. All right. In the course of the game, I made 134 decisions. That's our count. I think we're bound to have missed a couple.
I think so, too.
I think it's near impossible to count literally every single one, but I think the important part was that.
But this is a good estimation, right?
Like, yeah,
and it shows how much brain power we put into, playing the game.
Yeah, for sure. And I think being aware of how much brain power we're putting into the game, can help us distribute our brain power to different parts of the game. Accordingly.
So we just finished counting our decisions.
Yeah.
And
do you want to do a quick recap of what happened during the game?
What happened was Isaiah started out in a corner.
Mm-hmm.
And directly across of Mace, and had Flo and Rick coming out of the in the other corner.
Got it. Yeah. Eli ended up winning. This final score was 200-62. Eli killed one of my Jedi generals and halved another one. And at the end of 75 minutes, I could not do any damage to Eli.
Well, you dealt one damage, and I just beat. So
sorry, what? Can you say that again?
Well, specifically you dealt one damage, and I just regened it back.
Right. I think my big mistake was I set up the rocks wrong.
That I did get lucky in a few areas.
Yes. I think, however, my big mistake was setting the rocks up wrong. Because my things are so maneuverable. I think putting the rocks there gave me limitations that Eli, because he was running three aces instead of five, it just wasn't as big of an issue for him. He was able to maneuver around me and
more
distract
specifically,
me.
It was harder for you to pre-position. It's easier to pre-position in an open area, but it's easier to reposition in a closed area.
Right.
I learned that the hard way playing against a supernatural Kylo.
Right. Okay. Eli, if you were to say anything about this game, what do you think you have learned from doing this sort of strategy in your head where you are aware that you're making decisions? Like, are you more aware than before that you are making decisions, or are you less aware?
Well, I feel like I am more aware. Like, I'm more aware of how many decisions I'm making, and all of them, and a lot of them, the majority of them do impact the game a lot.
Right.
In all of my 96 choices, I would say about, 80% of them impact the game in one way or another. in a noticeable way.
Right.
So that primarily that includes actions and maneuvers and repositions and it does impact the game a lot. So what helped me is that X-Wing is a very complex game. There are so many decisions you can make, and each and every one of them could, you know, decide whether or not you win or lose, or whether or not you win. You got to make every choice count, and you have a lot of them.
So get the best out of every decision.
Yes, that's my takeaway.
Got it. If I were to say I've learned something from this, it would be that my awareness that I am making choices, that I'm actively making choices, impacts how I make choices. Because I'm aware that I'm making the choice to do something, it impacted me by saying, oh, you're aware that you're doing this, and while you're aware that you're doing this, you realize you could be doing something else as well. So it almost opened up my brain to more possibilities of actions and let my brain stay in the moment and focus on what was happening right now. And while that's not exactly the best thing if you're trying to like plan ahead, but it does clear up more brain space for future turns to plan ahead. If there was one takeaway, if I'm listening to this, like I'm listening to this as a podcast, if there was one takeaway as an audience that I would get from this episode, I think my one advice to our listeners is that try being more aware of your decisions. If you want, you can even try out the strategy where we, not necessarily counting, because I think counting actually took away from it a bit. It made us focus on counting more.
Counting would, you know, take up time.
Right.
And, you know, and that's just DM indeterminate.
Yeah.
That's just not good etiquette.
Yes. I think if I were to take away one thing as our listeners, I would say to try and be more aware of the decisions you're making in any given game. Also, you know, try out the strategy. Every time, next time you set your dial, think, I am making a decision to do this. All right. And with that, I think we're going to move on to... All right, for our last segment of the day, we have a question from a listener. What turrets/cannons would we make? Eli, just name a turret/cannon that you might want to see in the future.
The chaotic... evil in me wants to say TLT, but that is a good question. I would like to see a 3-die turret in X-Wing. Maybe a tractor turret. Or maybe a turret that turns your ordnance into missile launcher. Here's a pitch. What if you could make your missiles a mobile arc?
Ooh.
Like you could turn like kind of like the Special Forces TIE fighter.
So it would almost be like a turret that allows you to shoot missiles. So it's like, it's a mobile. It's a turret that comes with a mobile arc,
that allows you to shoot.
Right.
Only missiles from it.
Interesting. So it's like almost a missile turret.
Yeah, it's a missile turret.
Wild. Okay, that's awesome. That would be definitely interesting to see in the future. It would have to be priced pretty high, I think, and it would have to have a limited amount
many devastating missiles.
I would say it has to be priced pretty high and have only a couple missiles work with it for the reason that, you know, you would kind of be taking away some of the uniqueness of that TIE SF.
That's fair. Maybe that pitch isn't a good idea.
I think it's a very interesting idea.
Yeah, it is interesting, but I'm not sure about it. Isaiah, you?
Yeah, I think if I were to have a turret in the game, it would be a turret that it would be a turret that works only on large base ships, and it's essentially an ion cannon turret, but it's almost like a heavy laser. So it's like a turret that has a mobile arc, and if it hits once, then you like assign 3 ion tokens and do no damage. And it's a like 4-die turret that you can't modify any of your dice on.
Oh.
So it's like a heavy laser ion cannon. Would be healthy. Yeah. No, it doesn't.
Not really. Because you can't mod the dice at all.
No. You won't be able to modify the dice, but it's a 4-die. It's a 4-die thing. It's 4 dice.
So you get 2 on average, and those ships can just evade that. It's good against other big base ships.
It's extremely efficient against big base ships. Is the thing.
I mean, yeah.
All right. Well.
Turn the base ship? What if the big base ship has a mobile arc? Does the turret turn the mobile arc into and just that ion cannon, or can you choose?
I think it would be it would just be that same mobile arc.
Okay.
I would rule that, just because it would be really confusing to have a second mobile arc.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Alright, and I think with that, we're going to move on to our next segment. This week, I forgot to post the weekly questions. I'm sorry. It won't happen again. But, instead, we're going to be talking about the debate of the week. This week's debate of the week is, if you and your opponent are flying swarms that are each around I-1, and you had a choice over who has initiative, who would you pick? For further clarification in this debate, consider the match to be a mirror match, so that the list is not like a variable in this thing. Is it better to give initiative and risk the block? You might be able to maneuver better. Or is it better to take initiative for blocking, but then you don't exactly know what your opponent is doing?
Oh, okay.
It's a tough one.
Well, it doesn't depend. Am I flying a vulture droid swarm?
Sure.
Okay, then I give my opponent first player because I can roll and link you to calculate, and I think that's just good enough.
All right. So argue why that is.
So tactically, it allows you to arc dodge, and I think it's just and you can link that and get a offensive or defensive mod with your linked actions. So I think that's good enough. And so I think that's really good. Also, you have the ability to try to make your opponent commit. So what I like to do with my aces is I like to see where my opponent is, and then I reposition according to that person's maneuvers. Not to arc dodge, but to outposition my opponent. It's kind of hard to explain. But the ability to know what your opponent is doing is really powerful, and since you have the barrel roll to adapt to that, I think that's right. Good. But blocking is very valuable too, so I might be flat out. I'm not the best swarm player.
Okay, so because you took it's better to wait. Help! What did you say?
I said it's better to give initiative.
Right. Okay, that makes sense. I was just zoning out trying to configure this. Since you said that it is better to take initiative for the blocks, I'm going to now argue against that. It is better to give initiative away, for the reason being that you have more control over where the battlefield takes place, because you're moving first, they have to come and get you. You decide where you want to engage, right?
Right.
If it's a mirror match, then you can arc dodge them. You know, draw them into the rocks, make them pay for trying to come get you. More manipulation of your opponent's strategies. Mm-hmm. Is essentially what I'm saying. All right, everybody. And with that, that's going to be it for this week's episode of The Worst Ghost Children. If you liked it, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. You can like us on Facebook and join the Facebook group where we want to hear from you on what you want to hear in our podcast. You can also join the Discord to participate in the weekly debate of the weeks. And we'll see you next week. Also, next week, we talk to someone who doesn't often get mentioned in the X-Wing community, but has a lot of impact and a very unique perspective.
Yes.
On the count of three, we're going to say hi, Tom. Eli, you ready?
Yes.
3, 2, 1. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Tom.
Oh, hi. Hi, Isaiah here from the Worst Ghost Children. This week's episode is sponsored by District Foundry. Go to etsy.com/shop/districtfoundry, or you can just look District Foundry up on etsy.com for all of your X-Wing 3D printed needs. Thanks for listening. Have a great week.